Okay. Well, listen, today I'm going to share with you out of Matthew 10, 37 through 39. And what I want to talk about is it kind of comes off as an intense saying from Jesus. And you guys, you know, Jesus just, he's just so straightforward and direct. But man, some of the things, the way he says it, you'd think, whew, if you weren't Jesus, this would be weird. But he is Jesus, and so it makes it really good. So without me continuing to try to do a preamble here, I'm just going to read Jesus' words to you, and then we're going to talk about it. But this has been an incredible point of strength and courage and peace for me recently, and so I wanted to share it with you, I think you're going to be blessed. So let's just begin with the scriptures. Matthew 10, verses 37 through 39, and this is Christ speaking directly. So he says, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Woo. Let's just read that together again. Let's just read that out loud together. Can you pull that back up for me, Lincoln? Here we go. "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." So here is the caveat that the Lord brings out here, and he gives us this strong invitation to actually find life. Now, what's amazing about this is at first blush you think, well, why are you? Clearly, you don't mean that you don't want us to not love these guys. I mean, right? The second commandment that we've learned from the scriptures is love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love others as I have loved you." So there's a deep, abiding, powerful love that we're invited to have that's incredibly strong and is the mandate and is to be what our lives are marked as. In fact, he says that the world will see our love for one another. They'll be so inspired by it that they'll go, okay, I actually believe that the person that these guys are following was the Son of God, that God sent Jesus, and these Jesus people are proving with how well that they love that he actually exists. That's pretty huge. That's a pretty deep, abiding, tangible, practical love. So Jesus is saying, obviously not that we don't love other people, but he is saying that we must love him so far beyond that. And in fact, in other scripture, it actually says, unless you hate your mother and father and your brother and sister and even your own life, then you're not worthy of the kingdom. And that word hate is strong. I mean, that's a strong word. One of the ways that can be translated is who you show favor to. Unless you essentially despise this compared to how much you choose this, you're not worthy of me. In other words, God is in 100% complete first place in our hearts. Now, why is that good news? Why is that necessary? Why is that needed? Well, I'll tell you why. Because God himself is the only one that can actually carry the weight of our expectations. He's the only one that can carry the weight of our infinite needs. He is an infinite God. He is limitless. He is unlimited in what he can bring. And he's the only one that can actually keep filling us, keep giving us all that we need without fail. All of us are going to fail one another. And all of us we're being made into God's image, but we are not God, okay? Turn to your neighbor and just say, good news, I'm not God. Right? That's a huge relief right there. I know I'm relieved, because a couple of you needed to say that, and I did that for you. No, this is a huge thing, because we actually do need God himself. And until he is in the absolute number one position, our hearts cannot rest. You see, the promise that's given here, and he says this, he says, whoever finds his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. When you and I begin to say, God, I love you even more than my own life, there's a certain peace that begins to happen, because until we love God more than our own life, on our best day, we're only motivated by survival. The instinct to live and to survive. It's just... Are you with me? It's just practical how we're created. And until I say, God, I actually love you even more than my own life, then there's a drive inside of me. There's an inner murmur inside of me that can never be satisfied until I turn to the one who created me and say, it's you. I choose you. You've shown yourself to be faithful. You've shown yourself through Christ who you are, what you're like. And I choose you, and I set my attention and my affection on you, and suddenly I'm able to receive from the only one who can give it what it is that I need, which is his unlimited, unbroken, incredible, intimate love. He is the giver of life, and I begin to receive real life. And it's only at that point that I can actually have peace. How many of you have had a day, and some of you today, you came in here and you're like, you probably prayed this morning, like, God, I have been anxious for so long. I am anxious. I am not at peace. And I want to tell you the good news is Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And if you will put him in front of everything else, you'll begin to receive the peace that only he can bring. There's a freedom that happens when we actually surrender and say, Lord, I love you more than my father and my mother. In other words, I love you more than my culture. I love you more than my familial traditions. I love you more than I love my own children. I love you more than I love my own brothers and sisters. I love you more than I love my own life. And as that begins to happen, you don't become a less loving person to all those people I just listed. You actually become better at loving them. But before that, you begin to receive a peace, a wholeness, a stability, a confidence, a rest that you will not experience otherwise. But the Lord makes it so clear, if we're continuing to put our affections and our attention on something before him, we can't have peace, and we will be constantly striving. We'll be constantly working. We'll be constantly actually like beholden to that person on whom we've put our affection and attention above God. We'll actually become beholden to their current level of health and hope. Are you with me? You see, you guys might not know this, but I am a recovering codependent person. And here's the thing. I happen to be a pastor, and codependency looks like a really, really good, kind, caring pastor to people that aren't married to you. Because codependency... What codependency, I'll give you a working definition here, all right? Codependency means that I have set my sense of well-being on your well-being. I am the caregiver, and you're the one who needs care, whomever you may be. And I have made myself beholden to your current level of health and happiness. And here's the thing about that. It would seem like I'm doing that because I love you, and I do, but it is a lot lower love than it would seem, because ultimately, I can't be okay and have a good day unless you are okay and having a good day, so I need you to have a good day so that I can have a good day. So who do I love more? In that situation? Who am I actually serving in that situation? I'm serving me. And you're ruining it for me, by the way. I love you so much. There's a really great quote that I'm going to mess up a little bit, but I'll paraphrase it loosely in Screwtape Letters. And C.S. Lewis is talking about the C.S. Lewis is writing in this Screwtape Letters, a senior demon is teaching a lower demon how to try to distract his particular human from the path of everlasting life. And he's using all kinds of different things and writing letters. And in one of the letters, he's referring to his mother, who's a really strong character in his life. And he says, make sure and stir up this discord between the mother and the son whom you're assigned to. Are you guys tracking with me so far? This is already a much huger preamble than I meant. But at any rate, he says, and play on those stresses between this son and his mother. And because he happens to have the kind of mother who lives completely for her children. And you can always tell who her children are by that hunted expression in their eyes. That's codependency. I just live for my kids, and I really need them to need me. Is that about my kids, or is that about me? That's codependency. It's inserting myself into someone's life, and I need them to be okay so I can be okay. But here's the thing. That's not loving them as God loves them. That's loving them as you love them apart from God. Are you with me? He loves them better. He's not working. Let me tell you something. When I love you merely with my own love, it's all right. But if I'm operating in this way that I am, then I'm not above manipulating you for your own good to get you to do the right thing so that I can be okay. I just need you to have a good day and whatever it takes, right? For Jesus. We're doing it for Jesus here. That's a little light, benevolent manipulation. I just need to explain it to you. You just need to hear it a different way. Do you really want to do that? How's that going to make the people around you feel? Oh, guilt. Okay. All right. Are you sure you want to do that? I'm just really concerned. You know what I'm saying? Is anybody? Am I the only codependent person in this whole church? Is this what's happening? Yeah, thank you. I need a few of you to do that. Thank you for doing that for me. I hope I didn't manipulate you just now, slipping into old patterns. But he says, I want you to love others as I have loved you. And the only way that we can do that is to first begin with loving him above all others, which also means then a surrender of those people into his hands. Because that's the other thing, guys. In order for me to be able to surrender those that I love into his hands, I have to actually love him as he is. He has to be preeminent. When he's preeminent, when I receive him as he is, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Jesus so loved us that he gave his life, all right? Jesus said, it's good that I go so I can give you the Holy Spirit. He is this God who has earned our affection. He has earned our confidence. And you might be on a path right now where you're learning that, and he is happy to prove to you that he is trustworthy, all right? So he's in that process in all of our lives, not demanding that we just trust him, but actually continually showing us who he is and earning our affection. But make no mistake, before you're going to have peace, you're going to have to finally come to a space where you recognize and go, look, I have enough evidence that he's good, and it's time for me to put him first. There will come that point. If you don't come to that point at a certain time in your life, it won't be because he hasn't shown himself faithful. Jesus Christ died and resurrected enough shows that he's faithful. But he's so kind, he's given you about 80 years to still work and see him faithful, not only just through Jesus. Not only has he already given his own son, which is incredible, right? No one can deny the extraordinary gift that was. But then he also individually, specifically, is working in each of our lives and showing again and again and again and again and again that he did it for the world, but he did it for you. Right? So he's happy to prove himself faithful. But Jesus is making it clear, though, you must eventually make a decision that I am the one and the only one that you love above all other things. And until you do this, guys, until we do this, we won't have peace. And a lot of us are dealing with a lot of anxiety right now because we have actually put other people and other things ahead of Jesus himself, ahead of the Father, ahead of the Holy Spirit, ahead of God. And it stays in a place that is actually above our complete trust and love and affection and attention to the Lord. And to that degree, we are just all over the place. You hear what I'm saying? And it's so simple, I think we miss it. I think it's so simple, we miss it. But it is so essential, I will tell you unequivocally, until you and I put Jesus in the number one space in our lives and say, Lord, I don't even love my life as much as I love you. I don't love my mama more than you. I don't love my dad more than you. I don't love my, this is for me, my daughters, I don't love them more than you. My wife, I don't love her more than you. I love them. But if I have to choose, it's going to be you. And I got to tell you, as I've done that, I become better at loving them. All right? So there's a really nice bonus. But that's not why I'm doing it. It flows out of me, but that's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because I have found that I absolutely need the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and I cannot live without them. And no one else has done for me what God has done for me. No one else. No one loves me like he loves me. No one knows me like he knows me. No one has been so tender and so incredibly extreme in all the perfect loving ways to save my life, to heal me, to help me, to grab me when I've been the most arrogant little punk. And he's so kind that I'm glad he does it. And you know, he loves me enough to do it. He has, all I can say is everything I've ever needed, he's done it. Every time I needed him, he's there. Does he do it the way I want him to do it? Sometimes, actually. Sometimes. Sometimes. And it's really nice. But he loves me too much to always do the way that I want it. Are you with me? My testimony is Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I want to invite everyone here today to know him as he is and to know yourself as he knows you. I want to invite you to lay aside all of the anxiety, all of the pressure, all of the thinking, all of the worrying, to lay it aside. And you know how you can do that? Is to renew, or maybe for the first time, to say, Jesus Christ, I count my own life cheap in comparison to how much I love you. There's a great quote from Tim Keller I like. And you know, this is humility, right? Humility is to see things as they are. Humility is not to think less of oneself, but rather to think of oneself less. Guys, there's such a gift to love God more than your own body, more than your own life. It's so nice to not just think all the time about, I wonder what I want to do with my life today. I wonder what my destiny is. I wonder why don't I feel good? I want to think about how I feel. I wish I felt better. You ever be hanging out, having a great day, and then you ask yourself, am I happy? Oh no, am I happy? Oh God, I could be happier. If I could be happier, does that mean I'm not happy anymore? It's like, just the heck, man? I'm a horrible God. I'm a horrible God for my life. He can handle it. I can't handle it. Are you guys, are you receiving this? Is this helpful? Codependency is not love. Codependency is not love. We are not called to love our neighbor without first loving God. We have to be able to trust that God is going to take care of us. He is going to take care of our neighbor. He's going to take care of your mama and your daddy. He's going to take care of your wife or your husband and your kids and your neighbors. You and I, when we love him like that, we also begin to realize, wait a minute, am I trying to do your job in someone else's life? See, if I love them more than I love God, then two things are going to happen. Number one, they're going to become God in my life. So I need them to be okay so I can be okay. Codependency. But the flip side is the nasty other side, right? You can tell who I love by the hunted expression in their eyes. I really need you to be okay. And so I'm going to be God in your life. Have you ever had anybody who thinks they're the Holy Spirit in your life? Just turn to them and point and say, it's you. No, don't do that. No, it's horrible, isn't it? You're like, get off me. Like, this is bad. This is bad. Why? Because I love that person. I've turned my attention, my affection on that person beyond the level of where God is in my life. Are you with me? And then I cannot have peace. But when I do this, I'm able to release people into his hands because I recognize they have access to everything I have access to. He is presently working in every single heart and mind in this room right now. He's presently working in every life on the entire earth right now. All of creation is speaking of the glory of God. He is presently doing everything in everyone's life that he's ever done for each of us, because he is the Lord. And so suddenly, when I do say, Lord, I love you more than these people, I love you more than my own life, I receive his love, but I begin to recognize that everyone has access to receive that same love, and suddenly I can rest. And so instead of having to do everything to get people saved, to fix the world, to stop the bad guys, right? Are you guys with me? Then I begin to be able to say, I don't have to help. I can help. Dad, I'm working with you. What are you up to today? I'd like to help. I don't have to help. I'm not God. You don't need me. But you really like me. What are we doing today, Lord? Do you see the difference? So this morning, I want to talk to you about two promises here. The first one here is in Matthew 6, 31 through 33. Jesus, as he's sharing this, right? Love me with all your heart, strength, and mind. Love me more than your own life. Give, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for me, you save it. So we've abandoned ourselves to the Lord. So what then does he give us? Look at these promises. Matthew 6, 31 through 33. Therefore, do not be anxious. That's a tall order. We live in the age of anxiety right now, is what this generation is being called. And here's Jesus saying, I'm offering you a life where I can say to you, be anxious for nothing. I'm sorry, I'm going to the King James Version, which I grew up with. Therefore, do not be anxious. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What will we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Don't worry about it. We actually get to be a little reckless. You guys are like, is that okay? I'm just saying that your provision is coming from God. I'm not saying go take license and be dumb. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying your Father, who loves you, is going to cover your mistakes. Don't make them on purpose. It hurts. But if you do make one, he's got you. He wants you to seek him and his kingdom and his righteousness first, and he's going to take care of what you're going to eat. He's going to take care of what you're going to wear. You're here today. You don't have a testimony of him not coming through. You might have a testimony of him not coming through on your timing. I know I do. You might have a testimony of him doing it a way you didn't think of. I know I do. And you may have a testimony that in some areas you haven't seen him come through yet. But not one person in this room has a testimony that God has not come through for you in this life. Think back. He always continues to work. He always continues to work. And even in those things where we're waiting to understand the rest of it, each and every one of us can say, gosh, Lord, I don't understand about this scenario, but I have way too many testimonies of your goodness and your faithfulness and all these other areas to be able to let this pending situation cancel out how good you are and how faithful you've been to me in this life. Can you receive that? Is that true? If that's true, raise your hand. If that's true in your life. Yeah. I mean, so I want to say this. I want us today to let the Spirit of God, it doesn't have to happen in this room. If it's happening right now, praise be to God. I trust Holy Spirit's working through these scriptures, through these words, and in your heart directly in this moment. But I'm praying that the Lord would bring to our heart those places, those people that we have accidentally or on purpose elevated in our affection and our attention to where it's on par with God or maybe above God. And functionally, we have put that thing in front of God. When we get quiet, instead of hearing his voice, we see their face. Instead of hearing his voice, we think of that scenario. Instead of listening to his voice, we're watching the news. Are you with me? I'm not condemning anyone. I'm saying your own heart knows the things that have elevated themselves in the place of affection and attention that when you get quiet, that thing is there. Instead of the whisper that we just saw through the dance, instead of being able to be still enough to hear the whisper of the presence of the Father, we hear the murmur of our own heart or the murmur of this thing. Is it the economy? Is it your finances? Is it a person? Is it a scenario? What is it? Whatever it is, you can safely put it into his hands as you elevate again in your own heart and mind and affection the Lord himself and say, Lord, even if my daughter doesn't live forever, I still choose you. Even if my wife goes home early and I have to live without her on this earth, you are it for me. Where else would I go? You are the one. You're the one. Some of you live this, okay? But the only place we're going to have peace is if we do that rigorous work. We take those words, not as hyperbole, but truly, and we say, God, I give you the life of my daughters. I give you the life of my son. I give you my life. I give you the economy, I give you the future, I give you Israel, I give you the election, I give you my own health, whatever it is second, and you are first. And your heart will stop and say, ah, oh, thank you, fill in your name, thank you, your name here, for finally putting me in a safe place where I can thrive, for finally putting things in a way that makes sense in this broken, fallen world. God is bringing redemption, but there's a war still on, amen? And the only place that's safe for us, the only place where we gain our lives is in his hands. And the only way we lay hold of that is to make him first above all things. Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, and then 14 and 16, it says this, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. That's my daddy we're talking about. Is that your daddy? Say, that's my daddy. Aren't you glad your daddy is the Almighty? My daddy can beat everybody up. Will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, say my God, in whom I trust. Come on. Whew. Because he loves me. Listen to what the Lord says back to you. So we say to him, we say to one another, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And then the Lord turns and he says this, because he loves me, because she loves me. Are you with me? Says the Lord, I will rescue them. I will protect them, for they acknowledge my name. Woo! They will call on me and I will answer. Not some servant, not somebody else, your daddy. I will be with them in trouble. I will deliver them and honor them. I will, with long life, satisfy them and show them my salvation. Whew. That's where we are. If you have anxiety, if you have these other things, I want you to just let the Spirit of God, let Dad come, wrap you up in his arms, fill you with this beautiful Spirit, and share with you those things that have elevated themselves in your attention and your affection so you can get them back into his hands and you can enjoy him directly. And that anxiety has to go. Perfect love casts out all fear. Let's receive the perfect love of the Father. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet? Let's. Would you bring up verse 2 again for me? Psalm 91, verse 2. Yeah. Let's see. Let's say this to Dad. Are you guys ready? Yeah. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Amen. If you guys need more prayer, the prayer servant team is coming up. We want to bless you in your ministry. God bless you guys. Thank you, JCSD. Thank you, families that are here because of JCSD. We love worshiping with you. Y'all have a great day.